on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Well, does its job. Dean Cox again. This time he's in. At the second time of asking, Dean Cox takes Leighton Orient a step closer to Wembley.
Carroll. Jonathan Tahue.
Capable of anything. Tahue! Equaliser for Leighton Orient.
We're not a city. We're not a town. We're the only one of us around, and you know where we can be found. When Saturday comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we'll lay an Orient from E10.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to this week's Orient Hour on Phoenix 98 FM. I'm Trevor Singfield, and in the studio tonight, we have a bit of a rearranged lineup. We've got no ladies tonight, but we have got Darren Burrows. How are you, Darren?
I'm fine, Trevor. Good evening.
That's good to see you in there, mate. You're always good value on our Orient Hours. And also, another rearranged guest is Howard Gould. How are you, Howard?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening, because we've all had a little bit of a mix around anyway. So, not a lot happened at the weekend, because the O's were caught up in the international break, and we didn't play Port Vale, so there's nothing to discuss there, apart from why the game was called off. So, I may start with that before we go on to Lincoln. Port Vale, gentlemen. I had three games in the international break, and they were all postponed, and they were all home games. My question is, if those had been three away games, would they have called them off? Because they're only under-20s that were called up, and I think this is becoming a bit of a farce, League One games being called off. So, what's their thoughts on that? Darren, any thoughts on that?
I'm with Richie Willens on the fact that I think that the whole fixture list should go. I think it was two fixtures, Trev, weren't there at the weekend?
Yeah, yeah.
So, whether Port Vale are using it to their advantage, yeah, I probably think they probably are. Would I expect Orient to do that? Yes, I would. So, for me, Trev, I think what we've got to do now is the EFL, if they're the right people to put it to, have got to reevaluate the whole League One programme during these international breaks.
Howard, any thoughts on it?
Not really. It's just inconvenient, isn't it? You'd rather have a game on a Saturday, but I thought that's what a squad was for.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about squads later on probably as well with the players that are missing in ours. But then, you know, you've got 23, 25 players. Surely that's what you have a player in each position to cover.
Yeah, myself personally, I just think what I've seen with some lone players, they're not actually your player. So I guess you want to sign the best players possible, but it's all right for Port Vale to sort of send people all over the country on a Tuesday night, but, and I guess like Darren said, we'll hold it to that, but I think the time has come that we should all play. I mean, I think the level that the postponement should be should just be for the top league, even though they've got all the money and the biggest squads as well, you know, so.
But weren't we in that position on the last one when we had three possibles? It was Ed Turns, wasn't it? There was Beckles, and there was another one, and there were three in our squad that might have had to miss out as well, so we may have lost a game.
Yeah, but we went to Exeter and won.
Yeah.
That was the game, so yeah. No, it's just saying that's come up, and I think we may hear from Dulcet Davey. He's got some interesting views on it as well, but it is beginning to become like, well, Port Vale are going to have a massive fixture pile-up, and I know their fans weren't happy with the game being called off either, so. And I also think it had a little effect on last night's game, not playing at the weekend. They may complain about playing Tuesday, Saturday, but I think all professional footballers want to play football, to be perfectly honest, and maybe that's why we looked a bit sluggish early on last night. But there we go. Anyway, last night, Lincoln. Rearranged game. Ended Lincoln 1 or Leyton Orient 0. We start with Brilliant goal. Now, this is a hard bit. What was the formation? So we had Hunt, Cooper, Hap, James Sweeney maybe at the back. Prattley and Ilmiz in the centre. Soturio behind the front two of Pickett and Drinnen. What do we make of the formation, Howard?
When I saw the team sheet come out, it was, I think I tweeted, interesting team. I wasn't sure who's going to be playing where. And then as you've read it out there, I think you had, it looked like you had Sweeney and Hunt as trying to play wing-backs, with your left side of the three was Tom James, with Happy in the middle and Cooper there. And as you say, the centre two, and then the other three were spread out across the front line. So it was a little bit strange. I wasn't too keen on it, to be honest. Personally, I don't think it worked. If you're going to have a three and then the two pushing on, if they're meant to be wing-backs, surely I thought a wing-back was a guy who attacked as well as helped your full-back or the back three out. And I don't think either of those two, Sweeney or Hunt, got a cross in the whole game. When Sweeney did try one cross, I think I called it in the north stand. It was a strange setup. Yeah, it was a strange setup, and I don't think it worked. Lincoln were very poor. We were poor on the night. I think we might have edged the first half, actually. And again, we're just nothing up front, have we? I don't know. Drynan's lost his mojo completely. Piggott is... I think Piggott's got a good first touch, to be fair. He does seem to control the ball and hold it up well, but unfortunately it's his second touch that he hasn't got. And then I know Soterio bags a goal. It's about 1 in 3, I think, of his stats at the moment. But for me, he just doesn't do anything at all, I'm afraid. It's not my favourite.
Yeah, you've made that quite clear to most of us, Howard, that you don't like Soterio. And rightly so. We all games about opinions, isn't it? Full stop. And... yourself, Darren?
Well, I don't share H's view on Soterio. I think he's done okay, and his record speaks okay. But that, like you said, Trevor, it's about opinions. The formation I didn't like straight away. I saw it and I thought, no, this is. Then it became apparent, didn't it, that we'd lost Archibald to injury. So I kind of got it a bit more. Totally agree with H on the wing back situation. And he said it himself, didn't he, Wellens, that he's not a wing back. We're talking about Sweeney, sorry. So, I think you've got to get Galbraith in that team. It lacked any creativity whatsoever, didn't it? And we still created three chances for our strikers. Mm. And my favourite tweet last night, Trev, was a guy that said that Soturio, Drinnen and Piggott need to take the concrete out of their boots. I think that summed it up quite well.
Well, a little bit of pace. I mean, when you sort of see that lineup and on all... the way you would look at it, there was 8 defensive players and we're at home. Now that, I mean, it sort of like felt going back in time that we thought, well, we can't afford to lose at home, this, that and the other.
And we lost against a team that come to a draw.
Yeah, well, we're playing a bank of 4 and a bank of 5 and it was just hell to break down with non-creative players. Looked up, I thought Darren Prattley was anonymous, but he comes in other games when you need experience to see out games. Big loss to me. Was definitely Jordan Brown on his one-match ban. Mm. When you take a player out who's been in there 12, 13 games this season and has played very well, but he just does his job. You know, he doesn't set the world on fire, but he wins the ball, gives it to Mazzuni. Mazzuni gives it to somebody else, well, create a player.
Trevor, he's also... he's more forward than Prattley.
Mm.
Prattley, he is what he is. He's 37, is he now?
Yeah, I just think he runs to where the ball is. Yeah. Where I think Jordan Brown's positional sense is maturing as a very good young footballer.
Prattley's great to bring on when you're 1-0 up and seeing a game out for the last 15, 20. You know, to expect to get 90 minutes out of him now is it's not going to happen.
At all. But then the one little change I would have made personally if he wanted to play that system, I'd have probably put Sweeney in the back three and put James as a forward wing-back, sort of, how he sort of played under Jacket, sort of thing, getting further up the park. I know it's not ideal, of course.
If you're going to play that system, I'll get by saying it, yeah. I wouldn't have played that system. But then that is very easy for me to say sat here after last night, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're all sitting here in hindsight, but I guess it is probably time to ditch the back five at home, isn't it?
Personally, I think so. Yeah, I'd concur with that.
Yeah. I'm just thinking that there was some feedback from the guys who saw Stevenage play Lincoln on Saturday, and that apparently Lincoln had changed, obviously, since the first time they played us, new manager and whatever, and they had played with a couple of wingers. And maybe that's why they set up with the extra two wide guys to counteract if Lincoln were going to play with wingers. Apparently they did quite well first half, but then Stevenage changed it in their second half and counteracted Lincoln, and then got their usual goal, scrappy from a corner. But
yeah, because it's one of Richie Rennes' traits. He's quite good at changing things in play, isn't he? You know,
game management traits. Yeah.
But I think sometimes he has got the starting lineup incredibly wrong sometimes, and he does get a little bit of leeway from the Orient fans because of what he's done so far. But let's have a little listen to what he had to say on last night, because he sounded pretty glum when I listened to it.
Richie, thanks for joining us. It was always going to be an emotional night and a difficult night, and in the end it was a disappointing night.
Yeah, really disappointing. I thought first half we were just okay, but wanted to pass the ball just for the sake of it. And I never put the ball in the box and got crosses in. And when we did actually get balls in the box, we caused a little bit. We should take the lead with Joe Piggott's header. And in the second half, really poor. Really, really poor. It wasn't the performance that gave justice to the events, what happened the last time we played them. And for our supporters to pay twice for that is not good enough and not acceptable from our players. And the staff as well. So, I mean, parts of the second half, we just drifted. We just drifted, and you know what? We could have won it. We probably should have won it, because we had the best chance of the game where the goalkeeper's pulled off a good save. But there's still immature, naive moments where we can get done on counter-attacks, and their goal is, from their point of view, they'll look at it and go, it's a good move, but we've got people crossing over, we've got people dropping into the box. It's a really poor goal to give away. So, all in all, I think it's up there with probably the most disappointing games that I've ever had at this club.
Obviously, you've lost Jordan Graham. Theo Archibald wasn't here tonight. What's the news regarding his injury?
I had a scan after the last game, and hip flexor probably 10 days. Listen, our lack of attacking wide options is obviously there to see. So I think we missed Theo tonight. Theo was very, very good in the previous game against Sorensen. And we got into similar areas tonight, but obviously Sweens is more an orthodox left back than a winger as such, like Theo is. So I think we missed Theo tonight. Obviously we're going to miss Jordan Graham, but there is some light at the end of the tunnel with Dan Adjie, who's back training. Adam Thompson's back training. We've had some bad news with Omar Beckles, who'll be out for another 4 weeks. The squad's being tested at the moment. I think even throughout the whole of the season, we've never really had everybody fit at the same time. So, it's probably, this is no excuses that we were poor tonight, lacked energy. But I always try and think of the reasons why. And all my thinking now is, it's the first time that a lot of these players have experienced an international break. And we give them a couple of days off, and, you know, I'll have to read into how much they've done, and because training's been great. But then we've put up a performance in terms of energy and appetite and dynamic play. You know, it was far from where we've been.
Recent home games have seen defensive errors, and that's so unusual.
Yeah, I don't really see many defensive errors today. It was more like not glaring errors. That was more they play through midfield. Play through midfield. Both our midfield players were on the same line. It comes out to the left. We get a press on, but then they play out and we don't squeeze across the pitch. My back three drop into the 18 yard box when they don't need to, and then Hamilton has got too much room, and because we're so deep, as we're coming out to it, it's gone through legs, and it's difficult for Sol to save. So it was a poor goal to give away. I don't think he was in it. To the naked eye, you wouldn't think there's a glaring individual error. So it was more. Listen, there's people that need to step up. People like Dan Happ, need to give us more. Need to give us more aggression. Need to give us more intensity in terms of his shifting, his squeezing the game. Because he's a player with huge potential and a player that I've put a lot of faith in. And at the moment, we've just got four or five that are just drifting. And saying, you know what, if we win tonight, okay, good. But we could also get beat. And that's where we're at the moment.
But you're home again on Saturday. We're going to hear you'll be looking for a response.
Well, listen, we're a good football club. They've got some top players. I know they've had the problems, but I still think that a lot of the players, when they've played in League One, have won it or got promoted. So they've got some talented players. Hopefully, it'll be a good game. It'd be nice to get a game on a Saturday. I don't think the fact that the fans have had to pay twice helped us tonight. It was a bit of a flat atmosphere and a lot of empty seats when we're not used to that. But we should be able to handle that better as a staff and as players.
Thank you, Richie.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that was Richie Wenny's last night talking to Dave Victor after the game. Well, I think we can safe to say this is now the most difficult time in charge for Richie Wellens up to now. So, two home defeats in a row. I can't remember that in the campaign. And we generally, any time last season, we hit back with a result, didn't we? So, and it's a no winning five. So, what do we think of his demeanour at the moment?
Well, I think that was the most down we've heard him. He was downbeat about pretty much everything, wasn't he? I think that he probably needs, as much as anybody at the moment, someone to put an arm around him and say, you know, this is where you earn your money. I think, Trev, if I'm really honest, the injuries, I cut him a lot of slack, if I'm brutally honest. Like you said, he's done brilliantly for us.
I'm glad you said that, because that's on my notes here.
Whilst I'd said I would have gone with a different formation, I am being wise after the event. I can get why he went with that, because it has had some success lately, albeit you're right about a 1-5. And I also think that you're going to have, hopefully, please, you're going to have like Sanders up to speed, perhaps a bit more for Saturday. Galbraith, I think he's got to start. I think he's got to change the system. So really now, I'm all eyes on Saturday, Trev, if I'm brutally honest.
Mm-hmm.
I want to forget about last night, because that's how I deal with defeats with Leighton Orient. You know, I've had relatives pass away and felt less sorry than Orient defeats, which is a terrible indictment for me to say, but I'm just being very honest about how I feel when I leave the ground and we've lost. Andy's laughing at me because he's well, I can't help it, Andy, that's how I feel about it.
Now, what do you think, just to help Darren off that little ledge there?
He can be downbeat, but being the devil's advocate as I am, you're looking at the other side of it. You know, he sends that team out. He's looked at training. He said, oh, training's been really good. He's the motivator. He's the one who gives them their instructions. And then he come out and they say they were passing the ball around too much and they didn't deliver it. And you think, well, you're the one giving the instructions. So if they're passing it around too much, did you not give them that instruction? Mm. Sometimes, you know, he's a good diplomat. And, you know, sometimes I just think that, I mean, last night he threw Dan Happy under the bus. He's the only guy that he mentioned. And I didn't think that was fair. But he does it on occasion, doesn't he? He'll only mention maybe one guy. He mentioned Tom James once. He mentioned somebody else once. And I think he might think that they're the stronger ones who can handle it. Or it might be a way to motivate them again. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I didn't think that was particularly fair, because I don't think anyone last night really deserved like more than, say, a 5 or a 6 out of 10 at the most, mm-hmm. really. It was a very flat game. And then the other thing that he said was, we're glad of the break. You know, we've got the Saturday off, we can work and whatever. And then afterwards he said, we looked a bit flat. We'll have to look at how much time the boys had off, because he gave them 4 days off last week, apparently.
Mm.
So it gets a bit contentious, you know. He says one thing and it switches around a little bit. So it's not as though he's a brand new manager. He's been around a little while. Mm. So sometimes he's a bit of a politician. I just think that last night was, I don't know why the guys weren't motivated either. I mean, we know why we were there again last night. There was a reason why we were there. And if that didn't motivate them to go out and say, look, we've got to do this for the reason we're here, There's more than 3 points up for grabs. But it just seems so flat. And I know we can say that the boys were missing, you know, we've got Jordan Graham out, we've got Ajay out. Fine, we'll deal with it. Like I said before, it's a 23, 24-man squad. Beginning of the season, yeah, we got everyone's fighting for a place. We've got two players in each position. Well, get on with it then.
The only thing I'd say to that, H, is you're right, you've got Aggie out. You're right, you've got to get on with it. I agree with that. It was a very distant relative, by the way, Trev.
Okay.
So you've got Aggie out. You've got Jordan Graham out. Yeah. And you've got Archibald out. And that is... I don't believe in luck in business. I don't believe in luck in life. And I don't believe in luck in sport. That's really...
Yeah. No, I agree with
and
you.
And that's
there.
Why I'm
yeah.
saying that team last night just wasn't a winning team.
No, exactly. Yeah, three influential players are missing.
With no privacy.
And three players that are actually our players. They're not loan players. We paid out money for them, and they're on probably decent contracts.
Mm. Yeah.
And like you say, if you take the saw and the chisel away from a carpenter, you ain't going to get the table made. And so they are three big players for us at the moment. I mean, Beckles is out for another 4 weeks as well now, so God forbid we have another injury there. But overall, I thought Wellens's game management was pretty poor because we ended up with Cooper up front. Now, he's hooked pig at 64 minutes. And Drinnen's gone on 81. Surely he could have got a little bit more out of Piggott before making the change. But then we've then resorted to lumping it to a number six. I mean, this was like days of Frank Clark. We were lumping it up to a centre-half, you know what I mean? I thought we would be a lot better than that, regardless of any situation. Still try and play the football. But I think overall we all agree that if Galbraith don't start, or any creativity in midfield on Saturday, against a Wigan team, which... if you added their points up, would be ninth, one place above where Lincoln are now. And they were a bit of hit or miss, Wigan, win one, lose one, whatever, started well. But to get the creativity in midfield, to actually try and make some chances for our, what a lot of people say, not very firing strikers, but by now you would think the likes of Piggott, when he's been playing, would be on the end of Archibald's crosses and things like that. Winds me up, because we watch a lot of things. We were up in Fleetwood, Archibald putting 5-6 crosses, one after the other. Yeah. Any forward, a bit of nous in his head, would have gone, right, he's coming in, he's putting it in the same place, on a plate, like, you know, to do that. So I think he's got to scratch his head a little bit, Richie. And I think the one thing I would say, especially to Orient fans, is just don't go on the guy's back. Just think of all the good times he has given us, and he's there for a reason. And I said on my previous show, we were up to 10th. I said, it's the highest he's been as a manager. You know, so it's all these people, oh, they all come swooping in, Richie, but everybody's going to, every time a Northern team in the North West sacks a manager, oh, they're coming for Richie. He's not infallible, is he?
No, definitely not.
At the end of the day, he's not infallible, and hopefully he does learn from this. And sometimes I think he overcomplicates, even when he talks to Dave Victor, he says, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm telling him, like Howard just said, he's saying they're passing it flat. Well, you're there, you're in the technical area. Earn your yellow card, which he gets every time.
What would say there is, rumour has it that he kept the team in, well, it's not rumour, I think we know, he kept the team in for 40 minutes last night, after the game. And the other thing there, Trev, didn't he say, H, about them not executing the game plan against Oxford? He said that in his previous interview. So I think he's frustrated. He's getting a message that's not getting across. So he's got to find a way... to either get the message across or change the message. Because sometimes, I've had it myself, where you get caught up in really believing in a certain way of doing things. And because you believe in it so much, you keep banging the message home to your staff and it don't work, and they're not picking up and they're not changing their habits. They're doing the same thing. And eventually you have to say, well, this ain't working. I've got to, as much as I believe in it, I've got to find another way of squaring the circle.
Yeah.
And I think he's a little bit caught up in that at the moment. I think he's a little bit caught up in his own beliefs.
Mm. Yeah, I think as Richie has said a few times on this show, that he may still not know what his best 11 are. And I know we haven't got the whole squad to choose from, but so he's got this set of guys now, so take out all the injured guys. Now he's looking at the guys he's got now, and he's still not quite sure who can play where and who's in the right position. Because we're all saying it was not, none of us agree with the lineup last night. And everyone we speak to have said, no, that was a strange lineup. But he's seen it, and that's the one he's put out. So, you know, to be fair to him, though, the Cooper situation, moving him up front... he did win the header, I think, against Oxford, didn't he? And then Sotiriou scored. And he won the header again last night, where Sotiriou should have scored last night when him and Ford, you know...
It does give the opposition something else to
think
about.
Yeah, he wins the header for you. So we always say there is no plan B and all that. Well, if that's the plan B, you know,
so be it.
Stick your centre-half up there and go route one. He created a couple of chances.
He's caught up in his own beliefs. I'm going to backtrack slightly. I like the way that he went from the total kind of football, playing it out from the back, to playing it a little bit more direct this season. So I want to sort of correct myself a little bit there, if I'm honest. But I just think that twice now he said the message about, you know, the passing back, for example, and that's not getting through. And that's where I'm a bit concerned that he's got to find a way, isn't he? He's got to find a way.
He will. I definitely think. I'm pretty confident. Anyway, that's a little bit enough about Lincoln. There was a special guest last night in the gantry. After a period of about 5 years, Andy, 4 years, Mr. Gilson went upstairs and, rolling back the years, he decided to do a little bit of commentary. So it's been well missed, and should we have a little listen, Andy?
Hold out. Header forward was from James. Here come Lincoln on the attack. Played out here on this near side to Sorensen. Played it inside. That's a good shot there, and it's smothered to the floor at the second attempt. Hamilton it was who let fly from 25 yards. Quinn down to his right to smother that one. Signal goes up. Corner comes over. It's a firm header, and it's up. It's headed over the bar from almost point blank range by Piggott. The goal at his mercy. Just Jensen to beat. Lincoln keep possession. Bursting forward here. Sweeney in the way of that. And Orrin can launch the counter-attack. Switch wide. Sotiriou gets into the box. Pass one challenge. Flicks it out. Another cross comes in. There's a chance, perhaps. It's not away yet. This is Hunt on the edge of the box. Hunt again. Can he get a cross in? Yes, he can, but he dragged it rather less. The first-time shot comes in. It's not away yet. It's bobbling around everywhere and finally cleared. And Lincoln can get it away. Best action of the second half so far. Flicked out to Duffy on this near side. Gets across him of sorts. Oh, a terrible mistake. Orrin let the ball bounce. This is a chance. It's not away yet. Comedy of errors at the back. Cardinal sin, though, of defending there. As Cooper let the ball bounce, and that was almost extremely expensive. Now, here come Orrin on the attack. Half a chance, perhaps. Oh! And a pretty tepid finish. Well, it opened up there for Aaron Drinnen, but he just literally passed it to the keeper there. Sanders. Another cross comes in. Knocked away. And back it goes to Jensen. Here come Orrin, coming forward again. Oh, what a good challenge. And it could be a goal at the other end. A chance here. A breakaway for Lincoln. And they've dragged it wide. Oh, my goodness me. That really was a chance. Orrin completely caught square. And with the goal at his mercy, It's Mukama who drags the shot wide. Final 3 minutes now. Zorin come forward. Oh, he's put too much on that. And out comes the keeper to grab it. Both sides are finding openings at the moment. Just 2.5 minutes left on the clock. Ball on this near side, rolled inside. A lot of space on the far side as Lincoln come forward again, looking for a winner. And there's a chance, perhaps, if he can get a shot in, he can, and it's gone in! And Lincoln may well have grabbed the spoils here. Bryn was wrong-footed. Orient allowed far too much space there. And it's Leighton Orient 0, Lincoln 1. And it's Hamilton the scorer.
And there you have it. There's Andy Gilson rolling back the years. Shame there's no Karamas in that one, Andy. But there again, I hope you enjoyed your evening up there. And hopefully one day we may hear your dulcet tones back commentating on you. And again, you've surely been missed by a lot of people. I can assure you with that. Anyway, I've got a little bit of a... Howard said, not by him. Anyway, because we've got no Karen tonight, I've got to do the supporters club news update, because our Karen, she's gone up to Leicester tonight, hoping to find out whether the supporters club have reached the final of the National Club of the Year for Camera, which is a campaign for Real Ale. So wishing the supporters club all the best of luck tonight, and hopefully they can get to the final. Anyway, the coach to Chesterfield, she's told me, is sold out. There is limited spaces even for Bristol Rovers, and names are being taken for Cheltenham and Bolton, respectively. And on the Thursday, the 14th of December, the club are hosting a Christmas Ale Festival, and the doors open at 4 p.m. and it's free to get in, plus the bonus of a mince pie. So off you go. So that's the supporters' club news. But there was one thing I noticed last night, going back to the Lincoln game, before we hear from Matt Roper. Did anybody see the Lincoln manager going a bit over the top in front of their fans, which is probably a mere 50 yards away from where Derek Reynolds would have been treatment and that? I thought myself personally should have gone over the whole thing, clap your fans, go and celebrate in the change rooms.
At the end?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, Trevor, the guy's a new manager.
I know it was his first win, but and he obviously wasn't there on the night, but for me it was just a little bit...
You know, I'm going to cut him some slack. I'm going to say that the guy didn't really have... He wasn't there on that horrible night. We all were. So we've all been affected by it, albeit probably some people more than others. So I will cut the guy some slack. It was his first win as a new manager. It was an 88th minute winner.
Well, they all jumped on the bench, and that's all the moment there. But he went further and further to the fans.
I did notice it.
Yeah, no, just saying. Look, you know, it's how it is. Anyway, earlier in the week, or was it last week? I think Matt Roper, one of the heads of Loft, held the AGM, and he's kindly done a roundup for us. So he hasn't actually got around to writing one up. So this is probably the first chance you get to hear what he had to say.
Last week, the Leighton Orient Fans Trust held their first in-person AGM since COVID struck. And here is a small roundup of committee and members' business, with a first thank you going to Karen and Linda and the other staff at the Leighton Orient Sports Club for playing their usual warm host to us. The board saw long-term director Mike Randall step down for health reasons, and I'm sure all those fans, members or otherwise, would like to wish Mike the very best for his recovery. His input on stadium and safety matters will be sorely missed. Adam Michelson, Doug Harper and Peter Osborne were all re-elected to the board, and we welcomed our first new director in a couple of years after James Roper was unanimously accepted as a new board member, with a possible new director to be co-opted in the next couple of months. Chris Knight has formally been ratified as an external director. The accounts were unanimously accepted by the board, and all members and the yearly resolution regarding the regeneration fund staying with its original purpose was also voted for by an overwhelming majority. Whilst on this matter, For anyone that may remember who has no knowledge of this fund, this was the crisis fund set up in 2017. Its basic principles were to assist the Fans Trust with legal costs and or funding a part stake in new ownership of Leighton Orient, or, as was described at the time as the nuclear option, of having to kickstart a Phoenix club had Leighton Orient fallen into liquidation. The fund stands and was closed after refunds at approximately £113,000, and members have voted year on year to retain the fund for its original purpose. Following meetings with Nigel Travis and the board, they have clearly stated that they would not seek to have all or even part of the fund donated to Leighton Orient for anything outside the fund's original purpose. And like us, they agree that a large chunk of this money was donated by the fans from around the country, and it would not be right to use that money to try and further the football club's plans in any way, shape or form. As for one thing, it may impact on further fundraising in the future if it was ever needed again. The board have investigated and will continue to do so the possibility of how that fund is invested, and if there are possibilities that could see it earn, albeit maybe small, interest via other safe financial products currently on the market and open to trust rules and financial codes of conduct. Loft were glad to announce that there is to be a full partnership between the Trust and Her Game 2, an organisation set up to promote women within football at all levels, and full details of this fantastic partnership will be announced very soon, helping to tackle misogyny within the game. We announced that three junior grassroots clubs were recipients of sponsorship for the current season, and that we continue to sponsor both players in the men's and ladies' first teams, courtesy of members' generous donations through fees. We will, of course, be backing calls for the independent regulation of football, something we were proud to play a part in terms of Tracy Crouch, MP's report, as we seek to assist both a fairer distribution of wealth amongst clubs and the protection of smaller clubs that have found themselves at the hands of unscrupulous ownership. Finally, the evening was rounded off with an excellent Q&A with first team boss Richie Wellens, who was superb for well over an hour, answering questions from the floor and online. And I must take this opportunity to say thank you both to George and Robbie at the club for arranging Richie as a guest, as well as thanks to CEO Mark Devlin for attending. And finally, Exo's midfield legend Steve Castle, who turned up. And we wish Steve all the best following an ankle operation, and it's taking a little time out from his duties at Royston FC as first team manager. Loft are always looking for new members, and we remind supporters that just because we are not a club in crisis, we are only ever one bad owner away from the horrible situation we found ourselves in 7 years ago, and that a strong trust with as many members as possible can be of great benefit to both Leighton Orient Football Club and the wider game as a whole. Details of how to join can be found on our website, where you can also contact any of the board members via email, or you can join Loft at any home match by seeing me outside the club shop on Oliver Road. Up the O's.
There you go. That was Matt Roper discussing the Loft, and hopefully anybody who thinks have their own opinions of what Loft do and what they don't do, it's quite clear and concise what's going on there. So onwards and up from to them, but they done what they did back in the day. Do you any comments on Loft at all, you two?
I think you've summed it up well there, Trev. I think they did what they did, and I think it's good that it stays together, because you never know what's around the corner in life.
Yeah,
I was supportive of it at the time. I thought they brought us all together. So I'd happily give Matt £1. It's better value than his fans in, I reckon. No, I'm only joking, Matt. Your value's great. I think fair play to him. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's horses for courses sometimes, and I have to say, Matt's put his heart and soul into this football club over for many, many years, like many other people have as well. And we probably wouldn't be sitting here today talking about it if there's not those type of guys in and around football clubs, isn't there? You know, including the owners. So just going back to Tuesday night for a little while. This is totally away from anything. We all went on social media after the game for a little bit, not too much. Do you think, if you both went on social media after the game, I know you did a little bit, Darren, would the comments of some of the O's fans been different if we had won the game? Because it was a lot of anger
I felt coming through because we lost the game, you know. Because personally, I am going to sit in front. I don't know what the correct outcome should have been in this shambles, and I've got a few views on it, but small views. So if we had won the game 1-0, social media would have been a different place, and I don't think the anger would have been directed in certain areas. What do we think?
I think you're right. I think if we had won that game 1-0, the replay would have just fallen away as a memory. But I think a lot of the anger about the defeat. Listen, as I said earlier, I'd hate defeats badly. I do, right? And you know, I shouldn't be a slave to the result, as you lads always say. And I've always quite liked the comment because I think you're right. But you know, we're all
for the away days because
yeah, you've got to make it about the day out. You're right, and I have done that more over the years, Trevor. I've tried, but you know, certainly for me, the outpouring of sort of. Virtual, was that the right word? What we saw after? Thank you. I can never say that word, Andy. Cheers. I shouldn't have tried, really, should I? It was over the top. But you get that on social media, you get that in life, and some of the comments. My favourite was the board, the team, the staff, the manager have all got to go. That was my personal favourite.
Well, that's a hell of a one. Howard?
Yeah, I didn't see that one, Barry.
Is that out there?
You probably stayed on longer than most of us then.
I probably did.
I think the manner of the defeat last night didn't help, did it?
Yes.
You know, people were angry. There was actually, I was in the north stand and there were boos at the end.
We said the same in the west. I said, there's going to be boos. My mate said, no, they won't. And then it went up, didn't it?
Yeah, there were a few boos. And I think that was because of the manner of the defeat. As you say, if we'd have won, you wouldn't have had any boos, I don't think. Might have had boos, but not boos. But people were just gone away and gone, oh, we got away with that, and we deserved the 1-0, which should have been 1-0 in the first game, and it would have been all those type of things. It shouldn't have been played anyway, but we've got the win. And Darren was saying, we were chatting a little bit earlier, saying that if it had ended in a 0-0, which it looked like it was going to, we would probably have accepted that, because in the first game, it wasn't particularly a good game anyway.
No.
And I tend to agree with Darren that in that last 10 minutes that wasn't played, Lincoln looked the far stronger team, and it looked like we were going to concede at any moment. So probably would have settled for a draw, but, you know, it was always going to get replayed. I don't think there was, as much as we thought, look, there was 82 minutes gone and Lincoln should just give us the game. A professional team is not going to give you a game, I'm afraid. Not at this level, not with that amount of time. Plus, I think they said there was 10 minutes of added on, there would have been.
Probably 15 minutes to go.
I think 15 minutes.
Yeah. And the way that they were playing, you know, that we were under the cosh, if I remember. It wasn't a particularly good game, the first game either. It was only a mistake that Royal jumped on and fed Piggott for the goal that we did score. So, yeah, of course it would have been a completely different atmosphere if we'd have won last night.
Yeah.
Only simply because your team has won and you've gone away and said, oh, we've got away with that and that's the deserved score. We should have been that anyway. You know, we lost the game. I think we've got to look ahead now. We're only 4 points off the relegation.
Yeah, very much so. I agree with that. Everybody thinks you're comfortable in 14th, 15th, but...
Yeah, we've been saying we've been doing really well. It's been a good season. We're starting to stabilise. And I think it was true to a point. The last couple of games, or if you include the Portsmouth game, you know, it's 3 home losses.
Mm-hmm. Which we're not used to.
No, and apparently Portsmouth was a second 11, a complete change from their first
thing. 10 men.
Yeah, which I didn't see the game, but I didn't realise that. So, you know, we do need to suddenly look over our shoulder a little bit, I think, and say, well, actually, you know, we have the players that are out are big players, and are we missing them to the extent of... we're going to be dragged into something here. You know, if we don't get the win Saturday, I'm actually fairly optimistic for a win. I think we will pull a win off on Saturday, which is not like me at all. But
well, if we have a cup run, it sort of puts the... I think we're due to play Portsmouth that day or something. Blackpool home, I think, is that game.
Yeah.
If you get a cup win against Chesterfield, that's a game that goes back, and then you've got a free hit in the cup. So, you know, there's another game where Dan Ajay could be getting fitter.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
other players may be coming back.
I agree with you what you said a little bit earlier. We might be a bit harsh on Richie, but I wouldn't have any other manager at the moment.
Exactly.
There's no one else I would particularly take. I'm quite happy with him as a manager. I think the squad is still strong enough to finish at least halfway in this league. I haven't seen any particular teams that have really been frightening. All right, a couple of teams are Oxford were decent. Barnsley were decent, but they've been in this league. Barnsley got relegated last year. They're just slightly better than us. But I don't think we've got to panic. But I think it's just going back to the... If we all say that Tuesday's team was a little bit strange and no one's really agreed with it, what is Richie and his team seeing? But we have to... We just have to get on with it, and I think Saturday would be interesting again if there was any injuries last night. As you say, Brown would be back, and he was a big miss last night. I didn't realise that he was a suspension.
I actually have a question. I missed on the interview with Richie. How long is Archibald out for?
He said I think it was about 10 days, a hip, hip injury.
Right. I heard 10 days.
So we definitely won't see him Saturday.
Oh, very much doubt.
So we definitely have to change that formation.
Yeah.
Going back to that formation, I understand him playing James where he played him, because James can cross a ball. So you want to get him in the team, but I think he should have played him as the left wing back and not Sweeney in that position. But then again, as I say, it goes back to the hindsight thing. But
yeah, wonderful.
For me, Saturday... Sorry, Tuesday. If you get that point that we all thought we were going to get, 5 points, it's not a bad cushion, because the teams down at the bottom are at the bottom for a reason. They're just not winning.
They've got to beat. They've got to win two on the spin to get above you. Exactly. And there's a lot of teams. That's I've always said I like a 6 point gap all season. Yeah. To be honest,
But we already went to
a 5 point gap. It's one better than a 4 point gap, isn't it?
So agreed. Absolutely. Every point is valuable in this division at the moment, because Steve Tongue did tell us, he said, every time Orient's been promoted, they've never finished above halfway. And history, in my opinion, does not lie.
Yeah.
So if we're history makers after a promotion, finishing above halfway. So that is it. You know, we've only had 6 or 7 promotions. It's not as though we've had 10, 12, 15, but there you go. So my last word on the Lincoln thing, personally, I thought the game was replayed too early. I would have loved to seen it replayed the back end of next season, so Derek's family could have not had this, because I thought they were so brave the day they went on the pitch after...
Back in the next year, do you mean? Yeah, back end of this season.
April, when hopefully the result would have bothered either side, you know?
Do you know what? That never occurred to me, but, yeah, what a good call, because if the result was meaningless, then...
And it gives his family a lot more time, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but there we are. So we will send our condolences to Derek's family, and he's heard that hundreds of times. So there you go. Anyway, we're going to listen to what Dave had to say now. This is Victor's view. So,
Dave Victor, a disappointing evening. It was a difficult evening, wasn't it? It was always going to be a tough one. Our thoughts, obviously, were with Derek Reynolds and his family before the game. The O's without... Theo Archibald, understand it's a hip injury. Let's hope it's not long term. But I think we missed his pace and his invention. I think Leighton Orient struggled against a very well organised and disciplined Lincoln City side. It was a scrappy game, and it was one with a scrappy goal.
It was. Orient lacked that little bit of physicality, didn't they?
Yes, a little bit of know-how, despite the fact that Darren Pratley was in the centre of the defence, midfield rather. At the back, I thought the O's looked composed up until the 88th minute, and then there was that one slip, and then they paid the price. And that's been the case recently, particularly here at Brisbane Road.
Yes, another game gone, another home game gone. I mean, Orient may be getting sucked towards the wrong end of the table at the moment.
Well, perhaps. I mean, the whole division is so tight, you just don't know. I mean, we're back here again on Saturday with Wigan. And, you know, Wigan's league position, we know, is false because of the points deduction. And they're a side that, you know, they're inconsistent, but they're definitely going to ask a few questions of the O's. And, there's some work to be done here, I think it's fair to say.
Now, you know, the fixture list has been upset a few times because of international weekends. Dave, your views on this?
Well, I'm concerned. I mean, Lincoln City did play on at the weekend, and you know, you would have thought maybe Leighton Orient would be fresher as a result. But I worry. I was concerned by the fact that the game against Port Vale was postponed with about 10 days' notice. These days, train tickets are so expensive, so people have to book them up early. We know that people were buying tickets just a few, you know, days before the decision was made. There are so few games that are now played in League One. I think you have to get to a point you either decide not to play these games or not to allow so many players to go out. As it was, I was covering Hornchurch for BBC Radio London at the weekend. Even some non-league games were called off for the internationals. I'm not sure that we see the quality for this preparation. I have to put cards on the table here. I prefer club football. I'd much rather that the fixtures weren't disrupted, but it's getting to a point now that I think League One has to follow either the Premier League or the Championship, or we make different arrangements for players that are called up for international duty. 10 days' notice simply isn't enough.
Do you think the managers of the respective clubs will be behind your view on that, that they want their fixtures postponed going forward next season if there is international weekends?
I don't know. It seems to be something that is increasing, you know, the disruption that it causes to the fixtures. Seems to get worse every single season, and it's getting daft now. When you go to National League North and South, and games are getting postponed because of the number of internationals, you know, either the National League North and South are very strong, or there's too many internationals.
Thanks very much, Dave.
There we had that is Victor's view for this week, and he was talking about the postponements as well, and going down to National League South and North. Well, I didn't know that, so that's something new, isn't it? So, anyway, we look forward to hosting Wigan on Saturday, and like I said earlier, they would be ninth with without that points deduction. So, before we talk about that game, I'd like to wish our previous host, Steve Tung, good luck, as he's taking a penalty at half-time, along with the other walking footballers. So, I hope he does well, because when I spoke to him at half-time on Saturday, he goes, oh, that looks a long way, that 18 yards. But, so, hopefully, he'll fare a lot better than our friend Julian Lillington in taking one, because I think he troubled Walthamstow last attempt, and I think the ball's still flying. So, good luck, Steve, on Saturday, and I will be standing there watching. So, anyway, Wigan at home. Darren, on the spot. Give me your starting 11.
Starting 11. Oh, right. So I'll stick with Bryn.
Okay.
I'm not going to get rid of Bryn. I'll go Hunt right. I'll go James left. Centre pairing's going to pick itself, isn't it? It's going to be Hatton and Cooper. I'd have a midfield of Galbraith, Brown, and I'll put Moncur back in.
Okay.
If I'm honest. Up front.
Concrete boots.
I'm afraid so, really, because we've got no choice, have we? We've got nothing else up there. I might go with giving Ford a start over Drillin.
Mm-hmm.
I probably would do that, actually, as well, yeah. So I think that'd be my team. Is that 11?
Yeah, that's 11, yeah. Howard's up.
Yeah, oh. I don't know. Now, he's got a habit of sometimes dropping someone when he mentions them, so it wouldn't surprise me if Dan Happy, as he's not there on Saturday, and he puts Turns in next to Cooper, and then plays Hunt and Tom James. And then, obviously, in the midfield, yeah, I think Galbraith would come in back with Brown and then Mazzuni. Up the front, he's going to stick with Piggott because there just isn't anyone else, is there? Sotirio's in there, and yeah, it's toss of a coin. I think Ford needs a bit of a run out. Drynan is getting a little bit of stick from the crowd. So, yeah, that's where we go.
Well, there we go. That's a rather rushed team selection here, because we have got to find time for Roper's rant.
Last night was horrible, and you just knew that was going to be the result. A 1-0 victory for Lincoln left a bitter taste in the mouth, if you ask me, when you factor in the tragic circumstances of the replay of this encounter. And once again, in my opinion, we have seen the EFL show absolutely no compassion or leadership, which I also believe has led to Derek Reynolds' memory being betrayed and sullied. The horrible side is it hurts whilst raw, but perhaps the best thing we can do now is move on and pray that we never have to witness such a tragic incident again, and that the decisions are taken for the greater good of the game, and far more importantly, of course, for family members surviving such a unique and unkind situation. For the final time from me, RIP Derek, you'll be sorely missed in E10. On to matters on the pitch, and it's one that won't live long in the memory bank. The first half was okay as a rule, but the overriding factor throughout most of the 90 minutes was that we failed to cut Lincoln open enough. There is no doubt we can play keep ball, but as Richie said earlier in the season, this has to be with a purpose. And certainly when we move into the opposing half, and particularly around the final third, it's unfortunate that once again we were hampered yet further due to Theo Archibald's injury. But it is what it is, and we cannot linger and whine too much when this happens to every club, even if we have perhaps had a very large slice of bad luck on that front this term. Lincoln were well drilled last night out of possession in their own defensive third, and the supporters have to recognise that it can be very difficult at this level to break a back five with four sitting in front. Remember, this is League One and our players are at this level for a reason. Granted, a Kevin De Bruyne will find space and or manoeuvre the ball into exactly the right area and with exact precision, but that's why he and others I can mention applying their trade at the Premier League when actually they're nowhere near the third tier. Frustrating as it is, if you read social media from approximately 10 p.m. onwards last night, you might think the O's are in 20th place, only just above the trapdoor on goal difference. Granted, last night was poor. It was slow, it was laboured, it was passive. But 90 minutes doesn't define a season. And whilst things look a tiny bit bleak after last night, I have to remind supporters yet again that we have to be firstly realistic and remember this is a work in progress. Whilst they come from different fans, and everyone is entitled to an opinion, of course, the calls of let's get rid of McMahon, the set-piece coach, and spend his money on a striker, let's get rid of Drinnen and Piggott, Wellens needs to change the way we play, etc., etc., are rather knee-jerk reactions to a bad 90 minutes in the cold. Only 8 weeks ago, people were calling for Richie and his team to find a plan B, and now because we're cheated out of 3 points last night, we have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, rip it up and start again. Yes, it's always handy to have a plan C. And for anyone that has coached, particularly at a high level, and many of us, of course, won't have done, it's vitally important to have the bravery and nous to change things in-game if it isn't working. But all of these problems are not going to be a quick fix. And going back to, say, the striking and goal-scoring problem, you can't simply rip up someone's contract, pay them up, and go and find a 20-goal-a-season man in November. It's not how football works, and we have to trust the plan the board have. The directors and Richie and his management team aren't stupid. They know what is needed to keep us on an ever upwardly trajectory, but there will be very realistic pauses in our quest to improve, and we have to roll with the bad as well as the good. It's a tough period coming up, and I would say that whilst the performance would be great on Saturday, it's perhaps just as important to pick up a victory. Fingers crossed we can look to a positive result at Bristol, and perhaps then more importantly, for a number of reasons, a good result in the FA Cup second round tie, and a dream tie in round three. My overriding message here? Stick with it, O's fans. Christmas is coming, so let's go with a glass half full mentality, and if all else fails, we can blame any number of people, perhaps starting with the EFL. Have a good week, and up the mighty O's.
Well, there we go. Thank you, Matt. We've just got time for predictions Saturday.
1-1. 1-0 to the O's.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 2-1, I think. Anyway, so thanks for listening, and good night, everybody. And as always, up the O's. We're not sitting, we're not at town. We're the only one of us around. And you know where we can be found. When sadly comes again, we'll be trying to do our best to cheer all those on who wear the vest. Whatever challenge, whatever test, we're laying our reason from a 10. We're laying our reason from a 10. This is our club, we are proud.
Class and Orient, and so begun. The old story on it runs with Leighton Orient Farms.
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.